No more need fear and no more need doubting. No more need pride controlling my life. I may be free from all condemnation. I can have victory now in the strife. I take the life of victory. Not I, but Christ himself in me. He conquers now. He sets me free. I take the gift of victory. There is a place, praise God, I have found it. There is a place where we may be free. Free from defeat with power surrounded. Yes, there is victory, Jesus in thee. I take the life of victory. Not I, but Christ himself in me. He conquers now. He sets me free. I take the gift of victory. Precious provision, wonderful prospect. Jesus will rule and Jesus will lead. He is my shepherd, he is my keeper. He is my bread of life, on him I feed. I take the life of victory. Not I, but Christ himself in me. He conquers now. He sets me free.
Brother John Schreck, would you pray for us, please?
Thank you for the word of faith given to us.
Yes.
Encouraged us these days. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. I just pray that you will help us to keep guard what you have done.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. Bless these people, Lord, whether we've come or whether we're going.
Yes.
Ask for your care and protection over the children as we travel. Make us a blessing in our churches and homes in Jesus' name.
Amen. I've asked Brother Tim to share with us this morning.
Let me start by saying I've been so encouraged being here these past few weeks. I mentioned to you guys that I'm a youth leader at my church, and there are many meetings where I said it's just me and the other leaders singing together. It is so, so encouraging to worship with people with like minds and like faith. And it's been a blessing to me. I'm sure that you've been blessed also by each other. And so thank you for the last 2 weeks. We're going to look at James chapter 5 today. I was joking with Brother John, we'll continue with this theme. And I sort of am, because Martin Luther, there's a funny connection with Martin Luther in the book of James. We talked about all the weird things about Martin Luther. One of those things is that he cut the whole book out of his Bible. The whole book of James, he just decided he he was going to have none of that. So he cut it out. He believed that it was counter to one of his core beliefs, faith alone, because the book of James says that faith without works is dead. It's kind of puzzling to me that for all the intelligence that Martin Luther had, he kind of missed the point of James for saying that works is kind of the result of faith. And to me, it's kind of funny or puzzling that Martin Luther missed that, but he cut the whole book out of his Bible. So we've been looking at what Martin Luther said. Well, now we're going to look at what he did not say. And so we're going to look at particularly one verse, James chapter 5, verse 17. If you have that verse, can you go ahead and read it?
Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months.
Thank you, Sarah. Third period, the boys are going to be looking at Elijah. And so I have been thinking on Elijah quite often, and this is one of the verses that I really enjoy when thinking about Elijah, particularly because it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. I don't know if you have the tendency to do this, but I certainly do. When I read about characters in the Bible, and Elijah included, I tend to separate myself from them. I think, okay, that's Elijah. That's not me. That's David. That's not me. That's Peter. That's James. That's John. That's not me. The encouraging thing is that the Bible says that Elijah was just a man with a nature like ours. You know what that means? It means that Elijah was a sinner, just like you and me. We even have a tendency to do this. We separate ourselves from just people that we know. When I was a little younger, I would always separate myself from Tim Rodolico. I just couldn't see how he could praise the Lord all the time so loudly. I still don't know how he praises so loudly, but all the time, at the top of his lungs, he's praising the Lord. And when I was young, I said, look, I don't know how Tim does that. And I separated myself from that. And it was funny, when I became a youth leader, people in my youth group said, oh, well, of course you want to worship your brother Tim, which was really funny to me because I always think, well, of course he wants to worship because that's Brother Tim. and maybe you do that. Maybe you see Pastor John and you say, okay, Pastor John's speaking. He's Pastor John. He loves worshiping. He's Pastor John. Maybe you do that. Oh, that waitress, oh, she loves worshiping because that's her. Or maybe Brother Bob, oh, he loves this. He's Brother Bob. And dare I say it, Pastor John, you're just a sinner. Tim Rodolico, he's just a sinner. That waitress, Brother Bob, we're all sinners. And the Bible lets us know a little bit about the nature of man. We looked at this reference earlier this week, Romans 7. The Apostle Paul is talking, he says, oh, wretched man that I am. Hey, I have a little news for you. If Paul is wretched, chances are that you're wretched as well. Jeremiah 17, somewhere in there, it says that the heart is deceitful. The heart of man is deceitful. And here's my favorite one. Again, the Apostle Paul writing in the book of Romans, in chapter 5. Actually, if you want to turn there, you can go ahead. Chapter 5, verse 12. I'll give you a second to get there. It says that sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And then here it is. And so death spread to all men, because all sins. Elijah is no different than you and I. And all these different characters are no different than you and I. I could even argue that some of these characters in the Bible are much worse than you and I. The Bible says that David, King David, was a man after God's own heart. Want to go through the Ten Commandments, you could probably find that David broke every single one of them. He was a liar, he was a thief, he was a cheater. God wouldn't even let him build a temple because he had so much blood on his hands. David was at the point where he was killing his own people when he was running from Saul. Pathetic, pathetic man. Yet God accomplished so much in him. In James, that verse goes on to say, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, And he prayed fervently. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. Does anyone have a different adjective there besides fervently?
Earnestly.
Earnestly. Is that the only other one? I think that might be. I think the KJV says earnestly, the NIV says earnestly. I think what you're going to find is fervently and earnestly. And I looked up last night quickly the word that was used when people were praying for Peter while he was in prison. And said that they prayed earnestly for Peter. The King James says that they prayed without ceasing. And so I'm not a theologian. I'm not even Brother John. I'm probably not even John Christian when it comes to theology. But what I can tell you is that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, but he prayed fervently. And what happens when he prayed fervently was that God mightily used him. Do you see what happened after he prayed fervently? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. That is a big prayer to have. A really, really big prayer to have. Elijah was just a sinner. But that's how he prayed. Can I ask you, what is the result of your faith? Is the result of your faith just simply that you believe, or do you believe as you pray fervently? And there's a whole bunch in James that we can go over and talk about that this is the result of your faith. But we're just looking at this simple verse. Can I challenge you? Should we be Christians with faith that pray fervently? And I only went on in on this point because I think that prayer is kind of a broken piece of our Christian life. A lot of times a missing piece in our Christian life. When you think about a relationship, and I'm not talking about your relationship between you and God at the moment, but just a marriage, let's talk about a marriage relationship. I'll use someone who's not here. I'll use my sister because I love making fun of her. Let's say that my brother-in-law Matt decided that he just wasn't going to talk to Christy for a while. And then he said, you know, Christy, I was just wondering if you could watch Cole for the next 7 days while I go play basketball. Would that be a request that would be worth answering if Matt was gone for a while? No. Why do we think it's any different with our walk with Jesus Christ? We should be praying without ceasing. And maybe you're saying, okay, I hear that, but I'm still broken. I'm really, really broken. And I'm just a man. I'm just a sinner. I can't do that. I have another verse for you. And it comes from, again, a writing of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Anyone know what that says? It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In 1 Corinthians, it says that God chose the foolish things. God chose the lowly things, the despised things, the weak things of this world to shame the wise, the strong, things that are. God chose the broken things. God chose you. God chose me. And again, I'm just a man. You're just a human with a nature like Elijah. There's no difference there. But are we praying fervently? Are we willing to be used by God? We talked about Soli Deo Gloria yesterday. Okay, do we want God's will done enough that we're willing to pray fervently? Are we willing to show the evidence of our faith? That faith chapter in Hebrews, it gives a little definition of faith in verse 1, and then it goes on to describe all the different saints and their faith. But you know what it says in each explanation about those saints? It says how their faith was acted out. It doesn't say that Abraham had faith and then he went to heaven. It said that Abraham had faith and this. Sarah had faith and this. Moses had faith and this. Faith was acted out. And I'm going to close with this point because I think it's relevant to our fellowship and this group of people. Brother Hans had faith. And I love the teaching of Brother Hans. I listen to the teaching of Brother Hans. I'm thankful for Brother Dale who puts up the teaching of Brother Hans. And I've even come to do a pretty good impersonation of Brother Hans. But you know, but I'm not going to do it. Brother Hans had faith 70 years ago, and we're talking about it now, and that's great, and he had faith for us now. But I wonder, and I pray, 70 years from now, is someone going to look back and say, oh, he had faith. Oh, God used him mightily. Hey, he was a sinner. He was the lowliest of lowly, but God used him so powerfully. He prayed so fervently. Can I challenge you that way? God's able to use us despite of our fallen nature, and I'm so thankful that he is.
Amen. Thank you. Lord, help us. Jesus, help us, Lord Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Number 35, I sing in closing. The mercies of God, what a theme for my song.
For mercy so constant and sure.
Thank you for the work that you have done in our hearts and that you will continue to do. You have begun a good work and you will complete it. So I pray your blessing, Lord, on those especially today that are leaving. Lord, I pray that there would be joy and that goodness and mercy would follow all the days of their lives, Lord. So we commit each one to you. We ask your protection and your care as they travel. Lord, many that are coming up today, the same, dear Jesus, guard them, protect them, Lord. Prepare their hearts as they come looking to receive. Again, Lord, you are good. And our hearts rejoice in God our Savior. Precious Jesus. Lord, seal the work that you've done.
Yes.
Lord, that the enemy would not come and pick seed, but that it would take root and bear much fruit for your glory and for your honor, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless the Lord. God bless you. If you're leaving, make sure you say goodbye. The bus is out and they want us to come, so run.